Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to travel, astral travel. I hope it sounds exciting to you. I'm thrilled about it. I love the idea of astral travel. I think I've astral traveled many times. It's just that I don't remember it. I don't remember myself out there. I dream. I remember a lot of dreams. I'm not so sure that's astral travel because it's not something I seem to be in charge of. That I know what I'm doing and I'm being guided by people who seem to know what they're doing and it's much more conscious. To help us learn more about astral travel, I have two friends who are back again to talk about their lives as astral travelers and a book that actually one of them has written, and that's Stephanie S. Darrell, who wrote Seven Glorious Days in Heaven. A wonderful book. I loved it. We've done a show about it before. And now her son, Darren Knight, is visiting from Denmark, and they're both in studio. So we're having this opportunity to talk with them about this wonderful world that we live in already. We just don't know about it enough, and we can do more about it when we're more conscious to purposely drive ourselves to be better astral travelers or remember our astral travel. So let's talk with them about what their experiences are, what it's like to actually be conscious of traveling around in other dimensions. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Nice to see you, Peter. Good to see you again.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. And Darren, welcome.
Oh. Well, it's wonderful to be on the show again, Peter. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad you could be here. And this is an opportunity to understand now. Stephanie, you were the first astral traveler, and Darren, your son, learned how to astral travel you were a teenager then, weren't you?
Yeah, I'd had some experiences, but I found that it really kicked off in my early 20s, I would say.
Okay, you were better at it.
Yeah, there was a period in my life where it took off, and now it's more stable, but I still have plenty of experiences to draw.
How many years would you say you've been astral traveling?
I would say over 25 years.
Wow, good for you. Yeah, that's exciting. So, Stephanie, let's talk about your introduction to this, and how did you get out of your body?
The first time was out of my body, I was 23 years old, and it was a very frightening experience to me, a very shocking experience, because I thought at the time that I was dead, I was up on the ceiling and listening to people talking, and I didn't understand what was going on. I could pass through objects and not feel anything. I thought I had a body, but when I looked down, I didn't see anything. So it was very frightening. And then I got back in my body, and that was the very first experience that I had.
Now, how did it grow from there?
Then, in 1977, I had a visitor from the astral plane, a man named John Montgomery. And he started taking me.
How did you know he was visiting?
Well, because prior to that, my sister Sandra had developed her mediumship, and John Montgomery and I had become friends because in a family circle he would talk to me and my sisters and my mom, and we would communicate, and that went on for a number of years.
And that was through your sister being a channeler of him.
Yes, she was a channeler. So, and I had no psychic ability at that time. So I didn't take it any too seriously. But then in 1977, this same John Montgomery started to take me to the astral planes during my hours of sleep.
And you were conscious of that?
Yes, I was conscious of that.
So somehow, did he come in like a dream and say, let me help you out of your body and we'll travel?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what happened. The very first time I woke up, first of all I went to sleep, and then I came to, and there he was standing beside me, and he reached out a hand towards me and pulled me out. And when I looked over my shoulder, there was another part of me fast asleep in the bed. And the next thing I knew, the walls dissolved around me, and I found myself flying through space.
It's like Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, yes. Or Wendy. From there, he took me to a place called the Plateau. And on the Plateau were a large number of people. Some of them were normally dressed. Half the people were normally dressed, male and female. They were very young. The other people were different age groups, and they had either their nightgowns or robes on. when I asked John Montgomery, who are they? He said, this is where we bring mortals who have serious missions in life. Bring them here. The guardians and guides discuss those missions.
This is before they are born into their next life?
No. This is when they're living on Earth, and they come to Earth with serious missions to undertake.
Mm-hmm.
And so during the hours of sleep, the guardians and guides take them to the plateau, and they discuss their particular missions.
Even though the people are sleeping and not conscious of this happening and have no memory of it.
Well, you see, this is a curious thing. You dipped your toe into a very deep water here.
Sure.
You see, both Darren and I were born with rare blood diseases. And because we run such high fevers, we both have what's known as a tear in our etheric web.
Uh-huh, so it's easier for you.
That tear gives us a window through which our souls can escape into the universe. So it's very easy for both of us to leave and to come back.
So we need to induce high fevers in ourselves.
But it also helps us enormously to remember where we've been and what we've done and who we've talked to. So that has been an enormous advantage to both of us.
Right.
Yeah, so I would say, you know, we began the conversation, you began Energy Stew with, that you go astral but you can't remember, Peter. And I think that's the case for many, many people who get glimpses. They know they've been somewhere, they know they've experienced something in their sleep. It's sometimes realer than reality. When they come back and wake up, they feel like the reality, like myself, that the physical reality is somehow less real than where they've just been. But because your experiences in your astral body are separate from your physical body, your physical mind, your physical brain has no memory. So to bring that into consciousness, when you wake up, whatever information you do wake up with, start writing it down. Put it into your physical memory by reinforcing that memory of whatever you come back.
Well, I have very active dream life, and many of my dreams are fascinating to me, often about people I know in this life, and I'm doing things with them and traveling into locations that I'm not familiar with, and all kinds of unusual adventures happen. But I see that as a dream world, and it's something I just wake up to, and sometimes I can remember a lot of the details, and other times I know that there's so much I've forgotten about very quickly.
Yes.
And then during the day, it more and more eludes me. So if I had written down the adventure, but then again, I say, well, it was only a dream, and I don't know why I need to write it down.
Maybe this is where it doesn't take solid form, where you might be, by regarding it as a dream, it's fictitious, it's something that didn't happen. Whereas if you actually start realizing that perhaps some of these dream experiences have actually been you being astral, and because you have kept them in a fictitious state, that they've not grounded themselves in your reality, same way as you wake up and you're in physical reality. Maybe by paying more attention and allowing them to be, okay, what exactly happened? What could I have learned from that? Did that have something to teach me? What was that experience? And taking it on board, maybe as a reality that you had actually been.
Well, what I see it more is my subconscious creating dreams of new understandings, of trying to sort out my normal reality in a way that can be held better by me.
Yes.
Or it's some reflection of where I'm blocked or what my struggles are. And I see the dreams as having more of that purpose.
I understand, but I differentiate between the subconscious dreams, where your mind is working with something, your being is working with something while you're in a sleep state, and then going astral, where your guardian or guide or someone, one of your teachers or someone allocated you, is teaching you something and passing on information. And then when you're actually going astral is a third experience again. So the one where it's working with your subconscious when you're asleep is the dream state. Going and being taught in an astral state, in an experience, being put into an experience, that's a real state in your astral body. And the third one, where you're traveling and maybe seeing people, loved ones, having talks with them who are now deceased, is also a sign that is astral travel.
Yeah. One time, actually, I did sense that I was out of my body visiting with my mother who had passed on and seeing her in a beautiful state and a very comfortable state and just connecting with her. We didn't communicate, yes. but we had this mutual understanding of yeah. love and connection.
Yeah.
And then that was it. It was brief, but I was very clear that I had been with my mother and she had passed on when she was 71, but she looked in this travel that she was probably in her mid-30s. But
to me, I totally regard that as you being astral, out of your yeah. body going to
and
see.
And I thought that mother. Was. Yeah.
So to identify these different states of being helps you to know what is your subconscious mind and what is a real experience that you've just woken up from.
Right, and you guys, the thing is that you have definite experiences being guided mm-hmm. and meeting people out on astral planes. Darren, as your mother said, you play more than she does out there, and yes. you use it as an opportunity maybe to connect with people in different ways. And Stephanie, you're more into being guided in an educational way, in a yes. way that your guides, and you have two of them, right, John and Peter?
John Montgomery and Peter are both my mentors, my spiritual mentors. And John Montgomery and I have known each other for 1,000 years.
And that's all? Okay.
And we've worked together for 1,000 years uh-huh. in one life after another. I have gone into my Akashic records, which are, you know, memory banks of previous lives. And John Montgomery shows up again and again and again and again. Yeah. One life after another, one life after another, one life after another. So we are very, very thick and heavy with each other, shall we say.
Uh-huh.
So he has been my teacher for 33 years. And he took me to the plateau on a regular basis for 14 years to teach me about the heavens and to demonstrate things to me and to familiarize me with the heavens in a most unusual way.
And I love that because your book is so much about that, Seven Glorious Days in Heaven, so much about what goes on out there. And yet it's only a small fraction of what you know.
It is. I just finished book two. That should be coming out next April. And that will tell you even more about that reality. But one of the things you touched on a moment ago, Peter, was this. How can you separate out a dream from a genuine astral visit or journey? The astral planes, the reality on the astral planes is very, very vivid. The colors are very, very intense, tremendously bright and alive. The trees, the rocks, the building, everything stands out with such clarity. I never have a doubt in my mind as to where I am. I know I'm on the astral planes because the reality jumps out at you.
But you're also conscious of being there.
Yes.
Whereas when we're in a dream state, we're kind of knocked around in our dreams. You know, we're here, we're there. We don't seem to have any conscious being in charge of it.
Peter, I would contradict you on that because let me tell you this. When you, as an ordinary person, and you're not an ordinary person, but as a generality, when people are out on the astral planes, they do have clarity when they're out there.
Yes.
They do know what's going on and they do know what's happening.
But that's the part seeing. We don't remember.
But they don't remember. So
the veil.
Thing is, the biggest problem is the veil of forgetfulness.
Right.
The veil of forgetfulness is the biggest problem. Not that you're not out there, you are out there.
But that's the biggest problem in our life in general, is that we don't know who we are. And there's a veil of all of our other lifetimes and who we are as a higher being, as on that
but
soul level.
But on that basis, we work towards self-discovery. If we didn't have a lack of understanding of ourselves, how would we be on the journey to self-discovery?
So right. If we knew too much,
yeah.
we'd
yeah.
be ahead of the game. We'd second-guess ourselves
we'd
all the time.
We'd be too much ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So in a funny kind of way, it's wonderful we're on this journey of self-discovery. But the veil does play a part in keeping that level of not knowing who we are, where we are, where we come from, how we got here as beings, as souls.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have to push through that veil to start getting more in touch with past lives, the heavens, how we can function better as human beings, as souls,
right,
in the human dance.
And as an intuitive, I receive a lot of information about all of that.
Yes.
I just don't do it as an astral traveler. But I sit and I can open up my hearing,
yes,
to higher information that,
yes,
floods through me, mostly about others. I don't hear about myself so much.
Yes.
The universe just says, oh, you're okay, Peter. Don't worry about it.
Wonderful.
And it's like, no, I'd like to know more about it. But they say, well, you know, you're a good guy. It's all right.
You can trust in your journey.
Yeah, we have to. It's probably the best way to live is to, yeah, trust in our journey.
But we also do that same work, picking information from the universe or being handed information. The three of us are pushing that envelope, trying to get through that veil, bringing information back.
Well, you guys have done a good job based on the access you have to being conscious of astral travel, that you have that window in the veil that a lot of people don't have. And I presume we're all going to have more and more of it because we're coming into a more,
yes,
conscious,
yes,
time.
The energies are changing.
Exactly.
Yes.
The vibration is changing. We're, yes, starting to have a higher vibration, which means this window is opening wider. We're going to have, as a human race, more access.
Yes,
more,
wonderful,
and more people will go astral. More and more people will have intuitions, their other senses activated.
Mm-hmm.
This is a whole new era.
Yeah, and you guys are pioneers.
We
and
are,
that's why it's so wonderful to be talking with you about what you already know that we're all hopefully soon going to find out more about, certainly from you, but also from our own experience.
I mean, for me, I encourage people to not fear it, but to part of my being is to be playful and to encourage other people to be playful and inquisitive on this adventure, because fear stops the adventure, it holds you back. It just trust in yourself that this is a wonderful area to expand in.
So I guess, Darren, for you, introducing yourself to the astral plane was a positive, fun experience.
I've had the most amazing experiences, and like yourselves, you both have also had amazing individual, unique experiences for yourselves. Same way as the listeners who identify with what we're saying now, your experiences must be quite amazing.
And a lot of us can't remember most of it.
But what you do remember is,
well,
worth remembering.
Yeah, it's interesting that, but to hear you helps us then know ourselves better and think more about what our possibilities are, mm, or even what our previous experiences might have meant.
Peter, can I just say this? We are all eternal by nature. We are born from light, we come to Earth and we assume a body, but at any time go back to the astral planes and resume our light form. And that is, we are all, we will never die, we will be there for always. And astral travel is part of that ongoing experience. You're in your body, you're out of your body, you're flying around, you're having a good time, you're learning things. And everything is connected, your physical life, your astral life. If you combine the two, they will round you out tremendously as a human being. So you need have no fear of it, because you are of light to begin with.
Now, you both have guides, you have people you meet out there, and in one case it's John Montgomery for,
yes,
both of you,
yes,
right?
Both of us.
And you also, Darren, you see Peter out there as well?
I've had Peter for many years. We've had automatic writing sessions for quite a long time. I've got a stack of writing, lots of files on my computer.
Sounds,
but I think that also I'm often taken onto the astral and placed into a scenario where I can experience something or where I'm taught something, and sometimes I'm even tested on what I've learned. So sometimes I'm placed in a scenario which is a testing, where it's created through thought form. Touching on that, I remember when I started going astral and I was playing with thought forms, and I was creating thought forms. And one thought form I'd made was I made a dinosaur with thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that when you make a thought form, you give it a kind of consciousness of its own. And
out there, when,
yes,
you're out there,
in the astral,
you can actually create reality. So, but
exactly,
it's another dimensional reality. I always say that other dimensions are much more plastic, that we can work with them and we can create in them,
well,
in ways that we can't do here.
Yes.
And so you can actually create a dinosaur out there.
Exactly. So I created a dinosaur, but what I didn't realize was it had independent thought when I created it. So it started chasing me. So I was running down the street away from my own thought form because I didn't realize the dynamics of it.
So you guess you have to take it back.
I've become a little bit smarter about that with time.
When creating a thought form, such as the dinosaur, it would have a very limited consciousness, a very, very low and limited consciousness. It would not have the consciousness of a real dinosaur.
No, it wouldn't.
It's not a real dinosaur. It's
right. It's our imagination, but out there, our imagination takes form.
Yes, it does. Uh-huh. It is not a real dinosaur. You know, it's phantasmal. It's a thought form,
and it can't even hurt you out there because
you're not
vulnerable.
No, it can't hurt you.
But here we're in the realm of on the astral planes. Thought. If you want to see someone who you love, like for you going to journey to see your mother, you think about that person and you travel there. Thought is movement, whereas physically you have to get into your car.
You don't have to take a vehicle. Yeah. You just think it and you're there.
Your being is the vehicle. Yes. Right. Your being is the vehicle.
Right. But Stephanie, you traveled into different dimensions out there that weren't easy to travel through from one dimension to another. You couldn't just think it. You actually needed a higher being out there to bring you.
Yes, I could never have gone to the plateau initially without John Montgomery. But after going with him a couple of times, he taught me to go by myself. He taught me to visualize the plateau, to imagine myself there, which I did. And the thing is, you're transported by the speed of light, so you're moving very fast.
We're faster than that, probably.
Right. Well, I don't know, faster than that, but if you
Let's
go very quickly.
Let's assume that it's faster.
Yes, it's almost instantaneous.
Right.
And there you are. So that was one venue.
It's actually not in what we understand as time and space, so we can't really give it a speed. Because it's really, it's as you say, it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
And within that frame, though, that my understanding of all these things we're experiencing, it's still in the laws of physics. It's metaphysics.
Yeah.
So it's physics that humanity has no grasp of.
Right. I believe that everything is mathematical. There are laws of physics.
Yes.
But they're way beyond our understanding.
Yes, they are.
Yes, I agree. The best way I can describe it is vibration, you know. Vibration, the higher vibration, you go to a higher dimension, lower vibration, lower dimension of vibration. So vibration is the difference between, for example, when we travel astral, our physical body exists and our astral body exists. When we're awake, in our waking state, they coexist. So how do two things coexist together? They coexist because there's a difference in vibration between the physical and the astral body.
Right, so you can have your astral body and yet not be aware of it because you're operating at a vibration that can't really consciously experience that higher vibration.
So dimension coexists in the same space.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And for us to understand the difference of dimension, even from physical to a higher state of dimension, is vibration.
Okay. I'm for that.
It's a question of time, space, vibration, continuum. It's those three things. You know, people say there's no time on the astral planes. That is a fallacy. There is time.
Right, but time is created by our awareness.
Well, you have linear time here on Earth, past, mm-hmm. present, and future, and we have 24 hours a day here. But then you have cosmic time. Cosmic time is totally different because once you leave here, you go into the spiral. You enter the spiral. And the spiral is actually the means by which we evolve. And it's made up of circles. So as we evolve, we move through the circles, through the rings, higher and higher to the higher planes. And according to a level of awareness is where we, when we pass over, that's where you're going to go. That's where you're going to go on the rings. That will be your natural. So for me, I belong naturally on the third heaven. John Montgomery belongs on the second heaven. Now, he's going to...
The second heaven is higher than
the third heaven? Because the heavens go backwards numerically.
Okay.
So there are seven heavens, and since they go back backwards numerically, John belongs on the second. Now, he's an ascending master. When he graduates to the first heaven, he'll become an ascended master. Then he'll be up there with Jesus and Buddha and all the big guys.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him, right. We should be so lucky.
Right.
But
I think here's the next thing. Once we link our actions and our intentions with vibration, that some actions are of a lower vibration than other actions.
Sure.
Some thoughts are of a lower vibration than other thoughts. Mm-hmm. So the higher the vibration of our thought and actions, our intentions, the higher our being starts raising to go to those dimensions.
Right. And so that's why to raise our spirit is very meaningful and very likely why people go to church or sing and do things that are highly joyful and heartful, and that raises our...
But I would say it's far better to work with the reality and complexities of your life and how you respond to those difficulties.
To keep it at a higher level.
To try react and respond in real terms to what you have to deal with as individuals to the best level as possible.
Right.
So you can come to that. If your responses are, if something happens in your life and you have a habitual response, please question that. Try to give yourself more options than the just ordinary habitual response.
To keep your frequency as high as possible.
And now start working with yourself so that you can start having, out of a choice of five options of responses I could give, what's the highest response I can give to this circumstance I'm in?
Right. Now, those are great parting words for the show because we're actually running out of time. And we'll have more shows. We're going to do more together. This has been wonderful. It's very inspiring to talk with you both, and I'm sure our audience is excited about this opportunity too. So, Stephanie, you're the author of Seven Glorious Days in Heaven. How can people connect with you?
Well, they can go on my website. They can Google.
What is your website?
Stephanie S. Darrell and Seven Glorious Days in Heaven.
D-A-R-R-E-L-L.
Right. And they can, it's on Amazon, it's available in Barnes & Noble, it's available through Ex Libris. You can download it.
And you're on Facebook and LinkedIn
and
all that?
Yes, I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn. I'm all over the show.
Okay. Stephanie, S-T-E-F-A-N-I-E, S. Darrell. And Darren Knight. K-N-I-G-H-T.
Yes, but right now my focus is on supporting my mother's work.
Okay, great.
So that's my focus.
It's so wonderful to talk with you both. You're terrific, and thank you so much for being on Energy Stew.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.